Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're looking at, well, just 47 pages, but pages that genuinely shook the world. We are diving into Thomas Paine's legendary pamphlet, Common Sense.
That's right. It's often called the manifesto that didn't just argue for the American Revolution. It really provided the intellectual spark, the framework for it.
And the timing is so critical here, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to remember, when this came out anonymously in January 1776, things were tense. Sure, battles had happened.
Lexington and Concord, yeah.
Right. But politically, most colonial leaders were still aiming for reconciliation with Britain. They saw themselves as, you know, British subjects fighting for their rights within the empire.
It wasn't about breaking away yet, not for most.
Not publicly, not decisively. Paine's mission with Common Sense was to tackle that head on, to forge an answer to the big question. Do we patch things up with Britain, or do we go for broke and build a new nation?
And his writing just cut through all the cautious talk. It was direct, powerful. It aimed right at the psychological connection people felt to the king.
It really did. It reframed the whole thing, not just a local dispute, but a fight for universal liberty.
So who is this guy? Thomas Paine, he wasn't exactly your typical founding father figure.
No, definitely not. He was English born, 1737. And frankly, his life before coming to America was, a string of failures.
Like what?
Corset maker, customs officer, even a school teacher. Nothing really stuck. He only immigrated to America in 1774, pretty late in the game, basically with just a letter of introduction from Benjamin Franklin.
Wow. So a real outsider, not part of the colonial elite, not born into that world.
Exactly. And that outsider status might have been his secret weapon. He didn't have the same financial ties or maybe the ingrained emotional loyalty to the British system that many colonists, even unhappy ones, still felt.
You can see it with fresh eyes.
Precisely. He saw it less as a family argument about taxes and representation, and more as a fundamental clash over human rights, detached from all the, you know, baggage of British tradition.
And his real magic trick, the reason Common Sense became such a phenomenon,
was the language.
Yeah.
He took these big, complex Enlightenment ideas and natural rights, social contract theory, stuff philosophers were debating.
Yeah, things that could be pretty dense.
And he translated them into plain, fiery, accessible English. He wasn't writing for academics or politicians. He was writing for the farmer, the shopkeeper, the artisan, giving them the arguments.
Democratizing the revolution, in a way.
You could definitely say that. He armed ordinary people intellectually.
Okay, so let's unpack the pamphlet itself. What's the core strategy here?
Well, it's systematic. Paine essentially takes apart every single reason people gave for sticking with Britain. Logic, emotion, practicality, he tackles them all.
And that builds the case for independence.
Exactly. But the crucial first step, psychologically, was breaking that deep-seated allegiance to the king. You couldn't really aim for independence until you stopped seeing the king as legitimate.
So how does he structure this dismantling?
He kind of leads the reader by the hand, starts broad, what's government even for, then bam, he launches this incredibly harsh attack on monarchy as a system and hereditary rule specifically.
Okay.
Only after tearing down that theoretical foundation does he get into the specifics, the present state of American affairs, as he called it.
And that attack on the king.
Yeah.
That must have been shocking.
Oh, profoundly. He wasn't just criticizing policies. He went after King George III personally, calling him the royal brute of Great Britain.
Royal brute. Wow.
Yeah. Think about it. Many people still saw the king, even if they disagreed with Parliament, as a sort of, you know, distant father figure. Paine shattered that image deliberately.
That sounds almost like treason.
It was incredibly risky, but that was the point. To make independence thinkable, you had to make the king monstrous. You had to sever that emotional tie.
Okay, so let's look at that first part, the foundation. Society versus government.
Right. Paine makes this really clear distinction. Society, he says, springs from our wants, our need to cooperate. It's fundamentally a blessing.
We naturally come together.
Yes. But government, that, he argues, arises from our wickedness, our flaws. Its only purpose is to restrain our vices. Therefore, it's at best a necessary evil.
Not something inherently good, just something you need because people aren't perfect.
Exactly. And he uses this great little thought experiment, the island analogy.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
He says, imagine some people shipwrecked on an island. They'd immediately form a society, right, to help each other survive.
Makes sense.
But eventually, conflicts would pop up. Someone steals something, disputes arise, and then out of pure necessity, they'd have to create some simple form of government rules, maybe elections, just to keep the peace. It's born from problems, not ideals.
So government is secondary and only exists to fix problems society can't handle on its own.
Precisely. And it should always be viewed with a bit of suspicion because of that. It's a tool, not a virtue. He then contrasts this simple, necessary island government with the complex British constitution.
And he wasn't impressed with the British system.
Not at all. He called its famous checks and balances, the king, the House of Lords, the House of Commons, basically a farce. He argued the king, being hereditary, held way too much power for the other branches to truly check him.
Okay, so he's undermined the whole basis for British rule. Mm-hmm. Then comes the monarchy itself.
Yeah, and he hits it hard. He starts from natural equality. The idea that dividing people into kings and subjects is totally artificial. It's against nature.
And hereditary rule.
He calls it absurd. The idea that someone is fit to rule just because of who their father was. He says it's an insult to future generations, denying them the right to choose their own leaders.
It could lead to anyone being in charge.
Right. He famously warns it opens the door for an ass for a lion to rule, meaning you could get a fool, a tyrant, or even a child on the throne. Just based on birthright.
Strong words.
And he knew his audience. Many colonists were deeply religious. So he cleverly uses the Bible against the monarchy, too.
How so?
He brings up the story from the Old Testament where the ancient Israelites demand a king, even though the prophet Samuel warns them it's a bad idea that they're rejecting God. Payne basically frames monarchy as a form of sinful idolatry.
Wow, that's using their own beliefs against the system.
Absolutely. And then he throws in some history, reminding people the English monarchy was founded by William the Conqueror, a French bastard, as Payne put it, through violence, not some divine right. He just dismantles the whole mystique.
Okay, theory demolished. What about the practical arguments? People worried about surviving without Britain, right? The parent country idea.
Yeah, and Payne tackles that head on. He says, look, Britain hasn't acted like a parent. It's acted selfishly, exploiting the colonies for its own gain.
Yeah, that sharp line.
Even brutes do not devour their young. He points out Britain protected America not out of kindness, but for its own trade interests. And besides, he argues, many colonists weren't even English. They came from all over Europe, often fleeing English persecution. So the whole parent idea doesn't even hold up.
What about the economy? The idea that America needed British protection to prosper?
Payne flips that completely. He says America's prosperity comes from its own resources and hard work. Independence, he argues, would actually be an economic boom.
Wow.
By allowing America to become a free port, trading openly with all of Europe, not just Britain. Plus, they wouldn't get dragged into Britain's constant European wars, which were costly and disruptive. It's a powerful economic pitch.
And then there's the urgency. He says it's too late to go back.
Yes, that's maybe his most forceful point. After the fighting started, especially Lexington and Concord in April 1775, he insists the time for talking is over. Blood has been spilled.
Reconciliation is impossible now.
Worse than impossible, he says it's a dangerous fantasy. It would just lead to temporary peace. Britain would regroup and then impose even harsher control later, leading to an even bloodier conflict down the road. The break had to be clean, and it had to be now.
That sense of now or never is really strong. But could they actually win? People must have been terrified of taking on the British Empire.
Absolutely, that was a huge fear. So Payne makes the practical case for ability. He points out America has advantages. Unlike Britain, it has no national debt. It has vast forests, timber to build a navy. And crucially, they have home field advantage. They know the land.
He's trying to build confidence.
Definitely. He frames the present moment as this unique, perfect window. The time hath found us, he says. Waiting would only lead to internal divisions and allow Britain to strengthen its grip.
And he doesn't just say break away. He offers a vision for what comes next.
Right.
Yes, that's crucial. He doesn't just tear down. He sketches a blueprint. He talks about a Continental Congress, a rotating presidency to prevent anyone from getting too much power, and the need for a Continental Charter, basically, a constitution guaranteeing rights and based on the consent of the governed. He gives them something to fight for.
Okay, so stepping back from the details, what are the big enduring themes here, the ideas that still resonate?
Well, first, definitely the illegitimacy of inherited authority. Payne's attack wasn't just on kings, but on the whole idea that power or status should be based on birth or tradition alone.
So that applies beyond just monarchs.
Oh, absolutely. It pushes us to question any system in government, business, anywhere where authority comes from, who you know, or your family name, or just how things have always been done instead of competence or merit.
Makes sense. What else?
Second, I'd say the need for constant skepticism towards government. Remember that necessary evil idea. It implants this permanent sense that government isn't automatically good. It has to prove its worth, constantly justify its power over the people.
It exists to serve the people. And if it stops doing that,
it loses its legitimacy. That's the core of the social contract. If it becomes destructive, the people have the right, even the duty, to change it.
And a third theme.
The power of reason and its universal appeal. The title itself, Common Sense, says it all. Payne believed ordinary people, using their own reason, could understand these big political ideas. And he framed the American cause not just as local, but as a fight for all mankind, a chance to create an asylum for mankind.
Elevating it beyond just American interests.
Exactly, giving it this profound moral weight, a responsibility to build something based on liberty and justice, as an example to the world.
Payne was also amazing at crafting phrases that just stuck, memorable lines.
Oh, absolutely. His prose was electric. Let's touch on a few key quotes. How about this one right at the start? Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one.
That really sets the tone, doesn't it? It establishes that fundamental skepticism we just talked about. Government always needs watching.
Precisely. Then there's this brilliant insight into why people resist change. A long habit of not thinking a thing wrong gives it a superficial appearance of being right.
That's so true. We get used to things, even bad things, and stop questioning them.
Exactly. He's basically saying, snap out of it. Just because you've accepted monarchy for centuries doesn't make it right. Think for yourselves.
Yeah.
He's coaching people to overcome that mental inertia.
Powerful. And maybe the most famous one. The one full of revolutionary hope.
Has to be. We have it in our power to begin the world over again.
Chills. That captures the sheer scale of what they felt they were doing. A chance to erase the old tyrannies and build something completely new, based on reason.
An incredible expression of optimism and radical potential.
So how can we, you know, use these ideas today? What are the real life applications?
Well, one big one is first principles thinking. Payne didn't just tweak British law, he went back to basics. What should government be? When we face complex problems today, in our jobs, communities, whatever we can ask, forget how we currently do it. If we were starting from zero, based on fundamental principles, what would we build?
Like clearing the clutter and finding the core truth.
Exactly. Another application is simply challenging inertia. Payne's work screams, ask why. Why is our company structured this way? Why do we follow this social norm? Is it actually logical and fair, or is it just habit, like that quote about long habit making things seem right?
Don't just accept things because they're familiar. Question them.
Right. And finally, a lesson in clear communication. Common sense succeeded because it was understandable. It avoided jargon. It made complex ideas accessible. That's a huge lesson for anyone trying to persuade or mobilize people today. If you want change, you need to speak clearly and connect broadly.
So for my final takeaway, what strikes me most is just the raw power of a well-argued idea. How one pamphlet written by an outsider could galvanize a population and genuinely change history. It's incredibly democratic, arming regular people with the arguments for their own liberation.
Yeah, that's powerful. For me, it's the enduring relevance of that core insight. Government is a tool, a practical thing that must serve the people who create it. If it fails, it needs to be fixed or replaced. Common sense remains this timeless call for reason, liberty, and the courage to act against oppressive systems.
It really leaves you thinking. Payne argued people have not just the right, but the duty to challenge and change tyrannical systems. So a final thought for everyone listening. What systems or institutions in our world today, maybe ones we take for granted, have become necessary evils that might need fundamental rethinking, not just tinkering around the edges?
A challenging question, rooted right in Payne's own fearless thinking.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.